Happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our Friday evening church service on this 22nd day of February, 2019. Welcome, dear Brother James and Sister Lucy and all here. Welcome to those listening on the phone and to the recording, and glad to have you all with us tonight. What a wonderful time to be alive. And also a very solemn time, one in which we should be much on our knees in prayers to God for grace and strength to rightly and correctly represent Him and to be a co-partner with Him in seeking to save the lost. So glad to have you here with us, dear ones. And our opening song for tonight is He Leadeth Me. And we definitely need His leadership every moment of the day. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis Christ's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water
still
troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Lord, I would clasp my hand in Thine, nor ever murmur or repine. Content where'er lot I see, since 'tis Your hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Thank You, Lord.
Lord, I would clasp my hand in Thine. No, oh, excuse me, you did that. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold grave, I will not flee, since Thou in triumph leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be,
And thank you, dear Savior, for taking your hand in ours and leading us in the ways everlasting. And what a comfort it is to be hand in hand with the Lord, knowing that whatever occurs, it's all according to his perfect, wisest plan, for he will never lead us astray. Amen. Well, welcome again, dear ones. Happy Sabbath to you all. And let us please go ahead and kneel or bow our heads as far as we're able to do so for opening prayer. And precious Father, we thank you so very much that we are one day closer to getting off of this wicked world. We thank you for thy ruling and overruling providence in each one of our lives and situations and circumstances. And please continue to be in control of all things. Thank you for bringing us safely and healthfully, at least with what health we have, to another Sabbath day, a day in which we can come apart from the cares and troubles of this life and to rest in thy love and to praise thy name and to be uplifted in spirit, having your presence and love and light and joy in our hearts and in our midst. We meet here in the name of Jesus, and we pray that thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, heavenly angels as well, will be around each listening heart. Shut Satan out. Remove all distractions. And please, Spirit, increase our ability to comprehend and understand. And it is written, and thus saith the Lord, that we may glean all the precious comforting gems of instruction and truth possible from what we will be reading and discussing tonight. Thank you so much for allowing us to be called out of Babylon into thy marvelous light, and grant us the extra grace and strength and courage to stand for thee and to have the truth embedded in our heart, part of our character and life, that we may give you more glory, especially in these last days. Be with all of those requesting prayers, both spoken and unspoken. Be especially with Sister Anna Maria in the accident that she was involved with. And thank you so much that it wasn't worse, for there is no broken bones, but bruises and sores. And please help her to heal quickly. And thank you for sparing her from more serious injury. Be with all the other prayer requests for healing, whether mental, physical, or spiritual. And thank you that we can come to thee in any time of need and know that you hear and have granted our request according to thy perfect will. So we thank you, dear Father and Savior and Spirit, for being here in our midst, and help us to have a wonderful service in seeing the uplifted Savior more clearly tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome again, dear ones. And we're continuing in our study book, Patriarchs and Prophets. And this is chapter 53, The Earlier Judges. And we left off dealing with Gideon. And we're near the top of page 548 to the paragraph that starts out, Gideon and dared not place himself at the head of the army. And the last thing that we were discussing was that Gideon had followed the instruction of the angel, or the Lord God Michael, that he was to destroy the idol and in its place or close to it to raise up an altar to the God of heaven. And Gideon did so, but it was at night when no one was around. But he still did it. He was still obedient. And so in the morning when the pagans went out to, and of course these were Israelite brethren, but they were pagan in practice. So anyway, so when the paganized Israelites went out there to worship Baal and found that his altar and the idol was all broken down and there was an altar to the God of heaven and sacrifice had been made on it, thus desecrating the sanctity, quote unquote, of the pagan shrine area, that they were mad and they, you know, inquired and found out it was Gideon and they wanted to take his life. And Gideon's father was, I guess, filled with the Spirit and went out there and reasoned with them and said, hey, if Baal's really a god, then let Baal take care of what my son did. You don't have to defend him. You're not gods. Let Baal do it if he's really a god. And so whether the father had decided to give up paganism before that point or right at that point, we're not really told, but he came to Gideon's defense. And there was no more the thought of harming him. And then armies of the aliens came in and they were going to start war, and Gideon blew the trumpet and people from various tribes came in. Messengers were sent out to Manasseh and Asher, Zebulun and Naphtali to answer the call and to come to join with Gideon in fighting against this army. And so that's where we left off. And now we pick it up at this paragraph near the top of page 548. Gideon dared not place himself at the head of the army without still further evidence that God had called him to his work and that he would be with him. He prayed, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth besides, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. In the morning the fleece was wet, while the ground was dry. But now a doubt arose, since wool naturally absorbs moisture when there is any in the air. The test might not be decisive. Hence he asked that the sign be reversed, pleading that his extreme caution might not displease the Lord. His request was granted. Now, how long-suffering and condescending is the Lord towards his creation? So, I mean, Gideon asked for a sign. The sign was given. But then a doubt comes in. Well, wait. Then maybe this was a natural occurrence. Maybe God wasn't involved at all. And so he prayed that it would be reversed. All the ground be wet, but the fleece dry, which is against nature. And God granted it. Another miracle was performed. Only this time it was decisive. There was no way that that fleece of wool would remain dry while all around it was wet. That was definitely a miracle. So it wasn't just the angel that told Gideon what to do and that he was a mighty man of valor and that the Lord would be with him. Words were not good enough. Gideon wanted extra proof. And God mercifully granted it to him. Did God have to? Wasn't one proof enough? Wasn't two proofs enough? Wasn't three proofs enough? But God is indeed merciful and condescending. He knows that we are but dust. He also knows that we're battling a foe from within and without, and that our mental capacities are not as quick and decisive as they should be. And so he condescends, recognizing our weakness. What a merciful God he is. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions before we continue?
I think it would only be repeating what you said out above, but I think God would have loved if Gideon had have taken God at his word. And I was thinking, what could have made Gideon, you know, he gets this far, his life's been preserved, he's put down the Baal's altar, and then he sets up God's altar, and the devil seems to know the difference between worship of the devil and the worship of the true God. And the fact that, you know, in those days, that actually literally possibly will kill people, naturally in war. And, he needs more, but I wonder how much more pleased God would have been. And I guess it's just the same for us. We don't need doubt as our recipe as a Christian, do we? We can, trust God at his word when people are perhaps saying something so bold as Job's wife did. Why don't you curse God and die? Because look at your circumstances. And then when they praise instead of doing that, wow, what a witness.
Amen. Amen. And it sort of reminds me of Thomas. Thomas would not accept the testimony of his fellow disciples, 10 of his fellow disciples and the women that were there as well, that Christ was indeed risen, that people had seen him, talked to them. Mary had grabbed Christ's feet, not the first time, but the second time. And he just would not accept it unless he himself saw and felt. And so Christ gave him that opportunity. You know, Christ didn't spurn Thomas and say, hey, you had your chance, sorry. He condescended to Thomas and says, here I am. I'm here for you. Here, touch me. Put your hand in my side. No longer doubt my witnesses. And Thomas didn't need to put his hand in his side or touch the nail print in his hand. That was enough for him because he saw with his eyes. And you remember what Christ then told him? You believe because you've seen, but blessed are those that believe without having seen. In other words, by faith. So Thomas was blessed by Christ coming directly to him, but we are blessed even more because we by faith believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he rose from the grave and ascended to heaven and is now our high priest, and that he's coming soon to take us back home. We're blessed even more through faith. So here Gideon distrusts himself quite a bit, and he wants to make sure before he steps into that leadership position that God is with him, that this is God's will, not Gideon's will, God's will. And so God grants him his request. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Thus encouraged, Gideon led out his forces to give battle to the invaders. All the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. The entire force under Gideon's command numbered only 32,000 men, but with the vast host of the enemy spread out before him, the word of the Lord came to him, "The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. Those who are unwilling to face danger and hardship, or whose worldly interests would draw their hearts from the work of God, would add no strength to the armies of Israel. Their presence would prove only a cause of weakness."
Thank you, sis.
Amen. So here the sign was given to Gideon. The wool was dry, and the ground all around it was wet. So now he knows without a doubt that God has chosen him to lead the army of Israel out against the forces of the Amalekites and the Midianites and the children of the east. And so Gideon discovers that he has 32,000 men that have come from various tribes following his lead, and they pitch over in one particular part of Jezreel, and armies of the pagans pitch in a different part of the valley, and they are so much more than 32,000 people. And so Gideon is wondering, well, you know, God, you really have to show your miracle-working power if we're going to be able to defeat this huge mass of enemies. And then God says 32,000 is too much. It needs to be reduced. So make a proclamation that anyone who is fearful or who has doubts leave early in the morning. And you can imagine Gideon thinking about this. Well, we need every single one of those 32,000 men if we're going to have a chance. And you want me to go out and tell anyone who wants to leave that they're free to do so. But since it's your command, I will do so. So here Gideon wanted test after test to prove it was God speaking to him. And he knows that it's God speaking to him. And God is then continuing this test of the faith, courage of Gideon as well as the rest of the Israelites. It was a test. No doubt about it. God wanted to increase their faith in him, not their faith in Gideon, not their faith in other Israelites, in him, not their faith in their own abilities, but in his abilities. Is it any different today? God. God is allowing circumstances to occur that continually tests the faith of God's people in Him. God is well able to deliver us if it is His will. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in their test, manifested implicit faith in God. We need to do the same. We ought to obey God rather than men. Do with me what you will. But I serve the God of heaven. Any other comments?
Sad blessings, everyone. I'd just like to share a comment of, well, something that's kind of similar to what we're discussing here. Well, first off, it was what we were talking about earlier with Gideon and the miracle of the fleece. Is some, you know, some lessons into about the butterflies that something similar to the here in the butterfly lessons that regards these both these about Gideon's and the miracle of the fleece and the assembling of the troops of his army. And the first lesson was about the courtship of the butterfly. It says here that a butterfly seeks a mate when it is time to reproduce. A mate is chosen by sight and smell. The male or female gives certain special signals or clues in a certain order. If a butterfly gives the wrong signals or cues or in the wrong order, it will be rejected. The butterflies are obedient by responding the way God made them. They will find a mate. God is looking for people to reproduce His character. Gideon was giving signals to God that he would be obedient. Remember how he obeyed God by following God's instructions to throw down the altar of Baal? God saw that He could use Gideon to lead the Lord's army because He could trust that Gideon would follow His directions. A butterfly reveals certain color patterns on its wings in exact order. The visual signals or cues are the reflection of ultraviolet light rays from the butterfly's wing scales. You cannot see them, but the butterflies can see them clearly. These signals help them to find the male or female of the same species. God sees not as man sees. We cannot see each other's hearts just like we cannot see the reflection of ultraviolet light rays from the butterfly's wing. But God can see the heart's motives, and He chose Gideon because he had purified his soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit, according to 1 Peter 1:22. Those invisible butterfly markings can also remind us of the seal of God mentioned in Ezekiel 9. You can look through it if you want. So what is the seal of the living God which is placed in the foreheads of His people? It is a mark which angels, but not human eyes, can read. Also, a butterfly must have an appropriate scent, or its mate will not accept it. The scent comes from chemicals that are given off from special wing scales. Scent can attract a butterfly from a long distance. Gideon's fragrant character attracted men to him, even a whole army full. A butterfly will not join himself with others as with a mate unless the proper signals and scents are evidenced. Gideon would not place himself at the head of the army without still further evidence that God called him to this work. And that's furthermore to where the miracle of the fleece took place. If his heart was united with God's heart, the mane of the similar kinds of butterflies can remind us of how we need to be similar to God to be one with Him and join in His work. Most of the time, the male butterfly dies soon after mating. The female will fly away and find a place to lay her eggs. She usually lays her eggs in a few hours after mating. The mating of our souls with God may involve giving up our lives like the male butterfly does, or living a life of service to others, as is the case with the female butterfly carrying and laying her eggs. Each butterfly will go through these stages of development. First the egg, then the larva, then the pupa, and finally the adult. This process of developing from an egg into an adult is what we all know as a metamorphosis. Basically, that big word means a character change. Human beings start out in life as a tiny egg also, and they too must experience a character change if they are to reach full maturity. We are to grow up into him in all things. Ephesians 4:15. And then there is the part where Gideon was assembling the army. This part of the butterfly's lesson is about the eggs. It says that the eggs of butterflies come in several shapes, sizes, and colors. Some are so small you can hardly see them. Most eggs are round, oval, or cylindrical in shape. They are usually green or yellow, and some are even red or orange. Eggs may be smooth, ridged, or grooved. As butterfly eggs each different, so God helped Gideon sort out the different groups of men until finally only those obedient to God without pride or unbelief in their hearts were left. The female butterfly lays her eggs on plants where the offspring will have food. She takes the plant and with the special hairs on her front legs to make sure this is the right plant. She is particular about the diet of her young ones, just like all our mothers are or used to be. If they passed away, we'd be sad to hear their loss, of course. Other female butterflies lay eggs near the plant or drop them while flying. A female butterfly may lay several dozen eggs, or eggs numbering in the hundreds. She leaves a sticky substance with the eggs to keep them attached to the plant. Eggs from different species of butterflies will hatch at different times. And seeing through many of these lessons, we can see how Gideon at first encountered the miracle of the fleece and the assembly of the army. Because of his obedience, that's how God could see that he was fit to lead the Israelite army to saving Israel from the Midianites, and how he picked the right men for the job. And that's all I want to share.
Amen, and thank you, brother. Some really good insights there that you shared. But notice here that without God's prodding, if you will, encouragement, Gideon would have never taken this position. He would have never put himself out there and gathered an army. It was just not part of his nature to be outgoing. But when God came to him and he was connected with God, look at the changes that have been made in the character of Gideon. With God's help, he's willing to do all of this great work. Without God, he could have done nothing. But with God, look at what is taking place here. It's the same with each one of us. Without God, we can do nothing. But with God and the Spirit encouraging us and comforting us and leading us, great things can be accomplished in His strength. So no matter if you're the weakest person there is, connected with Christ, you can do mighty things in righteousness. So as we read through what's taking place here, it's great encouragement to each one of us. God has plans for each one of you that no one else but you and God can accomplish. Even great enemies can be defeated and overcome through His strength connected with your effort. And where are all these great enemies, these invaders that are trying to inhabit the promised land and kick us out? The enemies within our heart. Connected with God, they all can be defeated. But self has to die. our lack of courage has to be overcome. Our indecisiveness needs to be eliminated. We can't depend on others. We have to depend on Christ. And with him, we can do all things. And all the enemies will be defeated. And we'll become perfect in Christ Jesus. So Gideon made a proclamation that whoever is fearful and afraid, whoever is doubting, whoever doesn't want to bear burdens and hardships, to go back home. And what was the reason why? There was actually two reasons why. What were the two reasons? One is that Israel vaunts themselves against me when the victory came. So God wanted the numbers decreased so that Israel would know that the victory was not gained by their own strength. And what was the other reason? Those that were fearful and afraid, their presence would only be a cause of weakness to those who stood for the Lord. So the numbers had to be decreased in the army of Israel so that they wouldn't take the glory to themselves when the enemies were defeated, and because weakness would be throughout the camp from those who were without faith. So our lack of faith needs to be overcome, or we will prove a cause of weakness to others. Any other thoughts? Any other comments? Yeah, go ahead, sister.
It's like in an emergency room situation. Medical personnel treating someone who's been very damaged by an automobile wreck or some other calamity, they usually don't allow family members to come in while they're doing their services because family members can faint and then they have two patients on their hands. So it's kind of like the same thing. Those who would be afraid would be a burden to those who weren't because they would have to console all of their fears. It would slow everybody down.
Amen. Amen. So you can see the wisdom of God here in dividing this big army of Israel. 32,000 is big, but I mean dividing the army of Israel to eliminate weakness and also pride. These had to be eliminated from the army of Israel before God would be able to work for their victory. And is it any different with us? God has to work to eliminate pride and lack of faith from us as well before he will work with us in gaining the victory. Any other thoughts? That's true. Believe in all things, hope in all things. And that's dealing with God's love and the love we're to have within. Amen. Another comment, God is interested in character. Amen. Another comment, history is often repeated. That's true. That's why we have the Bible. history written down so that we can see what's yet to come and what has already been. Amen. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
It had been made a law in Israel that before they went to battle, the following proclamation should be made throughout the army. What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers were to speak further to the people, saying, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. Deuteronomy 20:5-8.
Amen. Amen. So here we see that by way of association, individuals can be encouraged or they can be discouraged just by our example. And especially in going to war or doing battle, courage is of the utmost. And anyone who is not courageous, anyone who is doubting, lacking faith, is not going to be an encouragement for their brethren to go forward and do battle against the devil and sin and so on. They're going to be a discouragement. So it had been made a law in Israel since the time of Moses that if any were faint-hearted, if they had not tidied up their affairs, or had been newly married, or had, you know, just come in possession of a house, or whatever the situation was, that they needed to take care of these matters beforehand. And especially those that were fearful and faint-hearted, they need to return home until they could overcome that fear in the Lord's strength. Any other thoughts?
I remember, I was just reading the beginning of chapter 20 of Deuteronomy. It's interesting that it says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. So this is exactly what's happening with Midian. And a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The mighty God, right? And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. But it doesn't stop there. They finish it with, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So essentially, what I'm finding in this is essentially God wanted everyone to go if you had that faith, even if it meant death. But like you brought out, Bob, that fearful people especially, who are fearful of going, would not be a help to those who were in the battle from the heart. And so I'm finding it very interesting. God's so condescending that it takes everything into account, lists the variations, and God doesn't need many to get the victory. He doesn't need few. He just needs the hearts given to him. That's all. And even if it was just one person. thank God that Jesus is that one person that gives us all the victory over sin. And as our captain of the Lord of hosts, we spiritually, the Lord of hosts, us being the host, we can get the victory as we keep looking up and living for him and by his word.
Amen. Amen. And it's part of the nature of mankind, fallen mankind, to become proud and uplifted in your accomplishments. And so if you're proud and uplifted in what you've been able to do, then you're not praising God. You're not thanking him for giving the grace and the strength to accomplish in you that accomplishment. You're taking the credit to yourself. Look what I've been able to do, when it's actually God in you that did it. And so here we see that God is trying to undermine, to take away this self-exaltation in Gideon and the armies of Israel, so that there's nothing for them to glory in themselves. There's everything for them to glory in what God was able to accomplish through them. And it's the same with us. God would work so much more for his people today if they would be so much more vocal in praising him and glorifying him for what he has done in them. But so often, you know, if you have a problem with overeating, so often it's the position you take, well, I'm not going to overeat. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Well, is that God working in you, or is that you trying to gain the victory without him? You see the difference? For you to say, I'm going to do this in overcoming versus God working in me to overcome this. Do you see the difference? One is I'm going to do it. The other is God's going to do it through me. One is self-exaltation. The other is allowing God to work. James talks about brethren deciding that they're going to go into a city and stay there for a year and earn a whole bunch of money and then come back home. And he chides them because they're leaving God out of their plans. They're saying, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to gain this much money, and then I'm going to come home after a year. And he says, you need to put God into that plan. If it's God's will, this will occur. And it's the same with us overcoming whatever sin it may be, whatever character defect we may have. We have to let God work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not trying to do it ourselves, but allowing God to do it through us with our cooperation with him. Then great things and mighty things will be accomplished, especially in defeating the enemies that are trying to keep us out of the promised land. The enemies within. Any other thoughts?
I kind of have a thought about that. If you're saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, then you become an idol. If you ask God to do it and you say, God is going to help me do this, then God is who you're praising, not yourself.
Amen. You're putting God in the very center of your plans. And thank you for the text there, Sister Lynn. James 4:15 says, For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. So God there is put into the very center of the equation, the very center of your plans. So, I mean, it's okay to plan, but you have to have God the center of that plan, giving him the right to rule and overrule in it. And it's the same with us overcoming sin. Through Christ, we can do all things. Without him, we can't do anything. Amen. God gets the glory. And the praise goes to him, not to us. We only worked in co-partnership with him, but he's the one that obtained the victory. So he gets all the praise. It's the same here with Israel. There were too many people there for God to defeat their enemies because they would take the praise to themselves. It was our numbers that gained the victory. So God told Gideon, there's too many there. So proclaim among them who's ever fearful, who's ever faint-hearted to go back home. And so Gideon did so. And a whole bunch of people left. And who would like to read the next paragraph? Please go right ahead.
Because his numbers were so few compared with those of the enemy, Gideon had refrained from making the usual proclamation. He was filled with astonishment at the declaration that his army was too large. But the Lord saw the pride and unbelief existing in the hearts of his people. Roused by the stern appeals of Gideon, they had readily enlisted, but many were filled with fear when they saw the multitudes of the Midianites. Yet had Israel triumphed, those very ones would have taken the glory to themselves instead of ascribing the victory to God.
Amen. And thank you, brother. So a lot of the people there, especially those that were full of pride and unbelief, were aroused by the appeals that Gideon made, and so they had come based on those appeals, but their heart was really not in it. And if their heart wasn't in it, then there was no way that God was going to use them to gain the victory. And isn't it the same with us? The truth may stir our souls and we may embrace the truth based on that stirring of our hearts. But that doesn't mean that we've been converted to the truth. It's the same here with the army of Israel. The appeals had stirred their hearts, but it did not convert their hearts. And without a converted heart to God, God can't do wonderful things. Can't gain for you the victory. So we must comply with the truth that has stirred our hearts and souls and allow it to become part of us. And then God will work and gain for us mighty victories. Amen. The mind has been stirred, but the heart has been left barren, unconverted. Amen. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments?
I was just thinking about the previous paragraph in relation to acknowledging God, and it's so easy to do that before others with your tongue, mentioning the fact that you're mentioning him not as an imaginary friend, but he's real. And then, of course, it opens up the field when people ask you, how are you going? Oh, praise the Lord, I've got this bus driving shift. Or, praise the Lord, I love the job I'm in. Or I'm so glad it's just another beautiful day, whether it's rain, hail, or shine. I often say that. But you mention the Lord as if he is what he actually is, not what we imagine that he is, but that he is what he is. And then the field is open for evangelization when he's acknowledged before others. And it appears from what we've read, this is what God's seeking, the character of his true people to be apparent, so that he gets the glory in them, that they allow themselves to be used by him, because they had no idea, going against so many more people, how to get the victory, but God did. And as we're going to read, it's just marvelous how that came about.
Amen. Amen. So God is wiser than we are. He knows the end from the beginning. And so we can trust him in all things. But that trust in God needs to be built up through experience. And it was the same with Gideon. His trust in God was lacking. And so God wanted to increase the trust that Gideon was to have in him, to build it up. And so you can see now the experiences of how God is building up Gideon's trust, increasing his faith, as well as the faith of others. So Gideon makes this proclamation, and how many people left the army? It started with 32,000. How many people left? Well, let's read one more paragraph here. And who'd like to read it?
Gideon obeyed the Lord's direction, and with a heavy heart, he saw 22,000, or more than two-thirds of his entire force, depart for their homes. I wonder what his face looked like when that happened. Again, the word of the Lord came to him. Praise the Lord for his mercy. The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. So he's doing this for Gideon's benefit as well. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. The people were led down to the waterside, expecting to make an immediate advance upon the enemy. So how many people are here? 10,000 left. Yeah, 10,000 left. A few hastily took a little water in the hand and sucked it up as they went on. And why do you think they would do that, by the way? What can you do if you do it that way rather than bow down and put your head to the water? You can keep an eye on your enemy, can't you? Mm. All right. So a little water in the hand and sucked it up as they went on, but nearly all bowed upon their knees and leisurely drank from the surface of the stream. Those who took up the water in their hands were but 300 out of 10,000. yet these were selected. All the rest were committed to return to their homes.
Yeah, I could just imagine Gideon's face and his heart. It says, with a heavy heart. So here, Gideon was placing his dependence on numbers in order to gain the victory. So he wasn't placing it on God to get the victory, but on numbers. And so God had to work to eliminate the numbers so that Gideon's faith and trust would be redirected to God. So here, more than two-thirds of his army leaves. He's left with 10,000. And so you can imagine him saying, okay, 10,000. Say, well, you know, we still have a chance. And then 9,700 people are eliminated and 300 remain. Now Gideon finally recognizes that it's impossible for 300 people to defeat an entire well-organized, well-equipped army. His faith has to be put on God to get the victory. Is it any different today? When we're part of a large group, we think life is good. God is blessing. But when, because we follow God's directions, His commands, this large number is cut in half, and again cut in half, and again cut in half, and now instead of being part of a large group, we're part of a very small group. How is the work going to get accomplished? How is the world going to be evangelized with such a small number of people following the present truth? Surely we need a gigantic, well-organized machine of church system and structure to evangelize the world. How can it be accomplished otherwise? A few people wholeheartedly dedicated to God will accomplish more in evangelizing the world than all the structure and organizational prowess of the churches combined without the Lord. The disciples were few in number, but they evangelized Jerusalem and the surrounding territories in a greater way than the gigantic Jewish church system was ever able to accomplish. Why? Because God is not dependent upon numbers. He's dependent upon converted hearts. So if the Lord is on our side, no matter how few in numbers we may be, great and marvelous things will be accomplished for his glory. Not our own, for him. So when we find our numbers dwindling and individuals leave us, it doesn't feel good. There's heartache involved. But that should make us even more dependent upon God to accomplish his will, to spread the loud cry, to fill this dark world with his glory. And God will do marvelous things in righteousness for those who fix the eye of faith and trust implicitly in him, come what may. Just like he was able to do with Gideon and the few remnant of people that remained. Wouldn't it have been marvelous if all 32,000 were dependent upon God in implicit faith? It wouldn't have been just that army that would have been defeated. It would have been the entire territory. All the inheritance, the land of Canaan, would be eliminated of enemies. But sad to say, God's followers have never been in the majority on this earth. We've always been in the minority because of pride and lack of faith. And in these last days, it's the very same. Just a remnant out of all that profess to serve God, just a small remnant actually are dedicated to him. But praise God, he will increase our faith if we ask him to do so. And how does God increase our faith? How was God increasing Gideon's faith? Through tests and trials that separated individuals from the group. The separation is painful. But it's necessary. Now, as we continue reading on, we'll find out that some of those that were separated away actually came back and joined. So those that were separated away, you can't write them off as being lost. There's still hope. God is continuing to test them, albeit in a different area. That's true. Judge no man. Very true. So we'll pick it up next time. By the simplest means, character is often tested. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions? Any testimonies or songs? And please go right ahead.
I was just going to say, bro, that it's interesting. I was looking at the spiritual aspect of the last paragraph and how 22,000 leave. And how Gideon was looking at that as the way to accomplish the work of the Lord with as many soldiers as possible. I was thinking the spiritual application perhaps could be the fact that we might be tempted to trust in all sorts of different things in our life to get rid of sin, except the word of the Lord. Or except prayer, our conversation with God. We might try to do, maybe there's thousands of ways. That's a lot. That's kind of scary. Just thinking of the spiritual application there.
That's true. And there's really only one way to overcome sin, and that is through Jesus Christ. And the devil can come up with, as you say, a thousand different ways to get us to trust in our abilities or our connections to accomplish overcoming. But we have to go to Jesus Christ in order to gain the victory, in order to be an overcomer. Because without Christ, it doesn't matter what great plan or scheme we've set into motion. Without Christ, it's going to fail. And we're too near the end to fail. So we must go to Christ and through him gain the victory. Now notice, Gideon just didn't sit on the sidelines and expect God to do everything for him. He had to be involved in following the commands of God. And in doing so, his faith and hope and trust in God was being increased, while his faith and hope and trust in his brethren were being decreased. So he couldn't hold on to his brethren with one hand in Christ with the other and expect to gain the victory. He can only hold on to the Lord God and gain the victory. So it's quite interesting here. Numbers does not matter with God. Hearts obeying him, converted, matters with God. Now, he still asks for unity, and we need to be united one with another in Christ Jesus. And that's what those 300 were, united, you know, hand in hand with Gideon. But their faith and hope and trust was not in their abilities. It was in Christ, or the angel of the covenant. And it's the same with us. But 32,000 down to 300, 1%. That's quite amazing. And that's also quite solemn. 99% of all who profess to be followers of God proved that they were not followers of God. Only 1%, actually less than 1%, proved themselves true, dedicated followers of God. Many seek to enter in, but few there be that actually do so. May we be among that remnant few, is my prayer. Question, was it because they did not have faith, and the vast majority did not have faith? That's why they were sent home. They still had a work that they needed to do. They still had to get to square one before they could be of benefit to their brethren and to God's cause. So even though they were sent home, didn't mean they were lost. It didn't mean God had forsaken them. It just means that they weren't yet ready for that particular battle, they had work that needed to be done first. So, amen. Well, are there any thoughts or comments, questions, testimonies, songs? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
I have a testimony about how when you put your life with God, you still must remain alert. And my daughter, as you know, has transferred from one job to another. And when HR wrote a letter to her saying that she would be terminated at the end of February, and it's like terminated, that's not a good word. So she asked her boss about it and said, what about this terminated? I'm transferred, not terminated. And her boss said, oh, that's a mistake. So she was telling me about this, and I said, you need to go to someone higher than your boss. And so she did. She went to HR, and she asked them about the word termination. And they said, oh, that is transferred. And they said, okay, the word terminated has been rescinded. And then they said, that was what your manager did. So thank God you still remained alert. You can't rest. Once you put it in God's hands, you still need to stay alert and watch how God works. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So I was just going to say that's Cindy, isn't it? That's Cindy. Yes. Yeah, so she's exercising faith. She gets answered a prayer, but oh, look at this. But thinking prayer's answered, she investigates. Let's just find out. Praise the Lord. That's great.
That verse in the Bible that says, be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, that really holds a lot of weight.
Amen. That's true. That's true. And you can sure see the prejudice or the outright animosity against her, jealousy or envy for finding a better job, you know? but praise God that it's being cleared up, because that could have been a blot or a stain that followed her career from that point. It always would have been a question regarding the termination status. So praise God that's being cleared up. And that God is revealing that he is working in Cindy's behalf. And it'd be wonderful to have her come in fellowship with us one of these Sabbaths. Are there
absolutely. Absolutely. God made this job possible. She's just transferring within the same organization. And but that one word could have caused a lot of problems.
I just wanted to share with you all, I've been getting some emails from many different people. Well, I wouldn't say many, but enough to make you start thinking, from different places around the world to Free Literature Multimedia. And varied stories, of course. And it's so interesting. I got one yesterday from India about the conversion of one man who was dying, happened to be dying, but someone gave him a gospel tract. And he started believing what was in it. Now, I don't know what was in it, but he believed in the Jesus presented, and he was healed, and he became a strong Christian. And His family was converted because of his conversion, and their first, second, and third generation are now full-time workers. This is just a brief story of the email that was sent me, and I'm reading this. I'm reading half the email while I'm on my bus driving break, and I thought, oh, that really buoyed my spirits, and I started thinking, you know what? Maybe I should do a newsletter and just, you know, start supporting, you know, and of course, Bob does, has been doing this for more than, probably two decades or more now. And Brother Rick and Sister Jeannie, who are, of course, the SR voice, and maybe others I don't know of, doing it. Let me know if you know any of those others that we don't know of. And I thought maybe in the future I could, you know, do something pretty simple, but, support various individuals with tithes and offerings. I'm praying for wisdom to know what it is that they believe, of course, because I don't want the weapons turned against me. you wish you could send them, you know, everything you've got, and that's what he's asking for, you know, as much literature and that as you got. And I'm thinking in my head, much cheaper, you just print it in your area, in India. Especially because he'll actually get it. And no, usually people get it. It just depends where it's being sent. But, yeah, it was pretty exciting. It really buoyed my spirits up. And, it's really nice when you get an email out of the blue asking various things about your faith. And being on the internet, it's very different. You're not talking to them one-on-one in an email, but, it gets you thinking about your own faith. And, yeah, oh, just an update on Aliki and Danny. Oh, because it's an extra early shift, I don't see Danny anymore, so I don't get those five-minute talks with him or rebukes. But I did see Aliki, and it was Thursday, and amazingly enough, it was like 20 minutes early. I thought, well, this is fantastic. This is an answer to prayer. And I said, good morning, Aliki. He's sort of like, oh, yeah, good morning, James. And he's... I thought, no, I've got to say something more than that because he hasn't contacted me for a week. And I'm thinking, I don't want him to forget me. And I want him to think, you know, he's a potential convert. I mean, if you've got something more to give me, I'm not mocking. Like, if you've really got something and I really am wrong, this is the way to go, bro. You've got to get in time. So just as I'm walking out the door, I said, I've got to go out of the depot in a minute. So I just said to him, look forward to hearing from you, bro. And I can't wait for that meeting. Oh yeah, you have a good day too. And I figured, yeah, it's early in the morning, it's usual. No, I wish you that too, but I look forward to hearing from you. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, hopefully. Oh, and all of a sudden I was thinking, ding, 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 doubtfully. Anyway, maybe we'll hear from him. I hope we do. Some people really get put off because I guess it's in them being inspired to want to witness to you. Tell you why, you know, what's on their heart, what's on their mind, use the Bible and that, pray with. Aliki, he's got this in his favor that Danny unfortunately doesn't have. The first time I met the man, I gave him a present truth booklet, and I said, before he read it, I said, do you think it's possible, bro, for a church that's been so exalted and has more truth than all the others to apostatize, but strange as this might sound, some people would say, or many people would say, absolutely not. He actually said, well, I don't know, I've not really thought about that. That's interesting that you present. Now, I just met him, and I think we had a prayer with one another, and he never really got back to me on the booklets and that, but he was sure I was wrong. So it's that kind of, I don't know what's going on in there. In the behind the scenes, but that's the update. I'm not sure what's going to happen from here, but just hoping that he responds and keeping it in prayer. You see them every day. It's hard not to say something, just like to the atheist or to the one that's observing Sunday and they're sure that you're a legalist. They don't point the finger, but this guy, they don't tell you that you're a legalist, but they don't say much either, and you give them a tract or a booklet in kindness, like, you know, what do you think about the state of the dead? Do you know it pretty well? If you read this, this is what I gave at my father's funeral, that sort of thing. And, yeah, you've got to live on evangelism, hey? You have to share what's inside the heart. And I've been really blessed this week. And I thank God.
Amen. And we'll keep Danny and Aliki in prayers as well. And pray that when the time is right, that they'll be wanting to discuss more with you. You know, maybe Aliki has not had the time to study for himself, and so he's just sort of putting it off. And, or maybe he's intimidated, I guess, by the truth. But we'll keep him in prayer, dear brother. And, regarding the newsletter, go with how God is leading you, dear brother. I think it'd be wonderful to read the emails and the letters that have come to your ministry there. Be a source of encouragement. So, go forward, young brother. Let God lead. Any other thoughts? Any other comments? Please go right ahead.
I have a dear friend whom I've known since we were 3 years old. And her name is Bonnie. And her husband's name is Bob. Their last name is Lee. And I've given them the address to get into our room. They've been asking about the ministry. They've seen your sermons, Elder Bob. And now they would like to join with us on Sabbath. So kind of watch for their name, Bonnie and Bob Lee. She said, if I can't get in the room, I'm going to call you on the phone. So I've got my phone here. Anyway, keep them in prayer that they make it in all right.
Well, praise the Lord. We'll keep an eye out for them. And they can actually call into the room and be able to listen on the phone, and they can actually speak to us on the phone. So that's another option. If they go to the website, click on Home Church, and then click on Joining With Us, there's an option for them to call in, and the number's there and also the access code. So, they don't have to call you and listen to it from your speakers. They could actually call in the room and hear it firsthand. But we'll be keeping an eye out for them, and we'll keep them in prayer as well.
Thank you. She would just be calling me for instructions. So they have an Android tablet, so it should be fairly easy for them to get into the room.
Well, praise the Lord. I hope we see him. Well, this song comes to mind as we've been dealing with praising God in what he has done for us and for others. And this hymn seemed to be appropriate. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join ye in glad adoration.
Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shieldeth thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires have been granted in what he ordained. Thank you, dear sister.
Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Wonder and know what the Almighty can do. If with his love he befriend thee. Amen.
Amen. And I have a praise the Lord. I checked on the statistics of our YouTube channel, and we're over 19,000 minutes that have been watched of our videos, and over 1,500 views have been on our videos. So 1,500 different people have viewed them, and over 19,000 minutes have been watched. So praise God for his merciful kindness. And please keep the 1,500 people in prayer that what they were able to watch and listen to will be as seeds planted in their hearts, that they'll be able to become converted on it and follow it before it's too late. So praise God.
A scripture song comes to mind in regards to today's reading. The Captain of the Lord of Hosts. Would you like to sing with us, sis? Maybe. I can remember. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. One more time. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I don't think I've heard that particular verse put to music before. That's wonderful. So thank you for singing it. And it will go on our list. Well, there was. Are there any other thoughts or comments, testimonies, songs, anything else that you'd like to share before we have closing prayer? Please feel free.
I like to sing in a hymn that I've learned. It is called Welcome Delightful Morn. Welcome Delightful morn, thou day of sacred rest, I hail thy kind return, for it made these moments blessed. From the world of mortal toys, I soar to reach immortal's joys. I soar to reach immortal joys. Now may the King descend and fill his throne of grace. Thy scepter, Lord, extend while saints address thy face. Let sinners feel thy quickening word, and learn to know and fear the Lord, and learn to know and fear the Lord. Descend, celestial dove, will all thy quickening powers disclose the Savior's love, and bless the sacred hours. Then shall my soul new life obtain, nor Sabbath's curse be spent in vain, nor Sabbath be spent in vain. Thank you. God bless you all.
Amen, dear bros. Thank you. I've not heard that one. There's many that I haven't heard.
that was lovely. I just wanted to spill the beans on Brother James for a bit. He doesn't know I'm going to say this. You'll see him squirming uncomfortably. But every word of it's true. He picked me up at my home yesterday to drive me up here because since my eventful stroke, I'm not allowed to drive, which I quite understand. I go for another review this week, so pray for me that I will get my license back. I don't actually feel I should be driving right now, but anyway, as he drove me home, which took not an hour, but best part of an hour, he was telling me what he told you online earlier today about the family in India, and I think it was a lady in Nigeria, and his ideas for a newsletter, and he's so excited and so buoyed up. I couldn't help but feel really, really inspired, but at the same time, he makes me feel very, what's the word? The opposite of being full of self-doubt, elder self-doubt, because he's so buoyed up.
Yes. Have you finished?
Yes.
Well, that's not my intention to, it's good to have an ear to listen, because we're so far from the city. And I get so excited she does it, because I'm talking too loud. I think I'm doing it now. I'll just button down. But there was another thing I shared with Lucy, and I'm curious to see what you all think of this. I've mentioned before that I'd love to try and be an agent for Food Bank. And what an agent means, it's not you don't give up your principles. Well, if you do, then I just give up my membership or what have you. But the Food Bank is access in Australia, and I'm in Western Australia, to be able to buy good food, 20 cents a kilo Australian. And I think it was Lucy, she said, how are you going to fit that in with all the other things? And I thought, well, that's a part of it, you see, because you can use as an avenue, and you don't have a Bible in one hand and food in the other. No, I know. But it creates an opportunity to be introduced to families, get to know them, and get to share your faith. Not force it down, but share your own faith. And I thought, it's not as easy as it sounds. Because you have to have an ACNC certificate. And to get that, you have to have an ABN. And to get that, you have to actually be... Well, I don't know what you have to be. That's the next stage I'm up to. And I'm not sure what to do. I mean, you can't do it if you're only two people. You have to have more than two people. You have to have a legitimate home address.
Not a caravan.
Lucy just said not a caravan. I think today's, I think in America they call that, I don't think they call it a caravan. I think there's another name. There's another term. But you all know what a caravan is? Yeah, sure. Mobile home or, home with wheels, but you can't drive it away. You have to, tow bar on the car, etc. So that's not going to work for me. Lucy has a legitimate address, but it's too small. But then Faye comes into mind, Sister Faye, and she has a beautiful unit. And she's probably one that's shown an interest and said, oh, I wish we did have access to that. And she asked her, the denomination that she's actually not technically a member of, can we do that? And they said, yeah, wait till I come back from holidays. I don't know what's happened with that, but they have access to it. So I'm thinking maybe I could approach her and maybe someone I know, because I know of a number of people that don't have anything against free literature multimedia as such, Duly believe exactly like on specific things? Not necessarily. And so that's, I guess I'm putting forward to you, because if we can get an ABN, and get accepted, we can have access to very cheap food that provides a greater range of outreach to those in the city. Because as a bus driver, I do go past them quite a bit. I had one guy just on, in Carlisle. He had a big sign up with the traffic lights, hungry, I need food, and he puts it down when the bus driver comes, probably because I'm blocking everyone behind me. I was playing with the coins, not on purpose, and he's probably thinking, oh, he's coming. No, he wasn't. I was just preparing for the next day's float. But I don't want to encourage alcohol abuse or drug abuse or whatever the reason, but there's one thing I've noticed. We have a dear fellow, Daniel, who lives on this property. And he doesn't live in an official home address either. But what he lives in, he agreed with me. I said, it's pretty impossible to be hungry in Australia. Would you agree with that, Dan? He said, yes. I said, because I told him about food bank. He said, wow, is that where they get all the food from when he was seeking help? Mm. He doesn't seek it anymore. He said, because I can afford the rent. I said, so the issue is there's enough money, there's enough food to eat. It's just people can go shelterless, but that's a fact. And he said, exactly. And that's why he's in the circumstances that he's in. So I'm thinking maybe this could be a wedge with the gospel, especially if you can just choose to give healthy food. If they enforce that you've got to send pork or that, well, you know, I don't know why they would do that, but you never know. Stranger things have happened as we read the Bible. So what do you all think?
Well, brother, that can be an entering wedge by dealing with healthful food and providing it to the people at very low cost or for free. I guess you can evangelize at the same time you do it, but you'd be more fixed in a location to get the food out. Unless you don't have a lot of food and can just pack it with you. I really don't know what to tell you on that, brother. You just sort of have to see if the Lord keeps the doors open or closes them up on what to do.
Thanks, bro. I guess the issue is, if you need more than two people, which they tell me you do, I always thought, I've got to have obviously people that have a familiarity with our faith. And Sister Faye, you've met her. She's been online, I think twice. I told her about the women's meeting and she seems very interested. In fact, she was so interested when we first told her. She said, when do they meet on Sabbath? Well, I said, in America, it'll be during the day. And what's that for night? Well, about 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, there's nothing matter with that. I'll go over that. Have you seen her lately? No, maybe not. But she's so funny. But bless her heart, she's interested enough. But I thought maybe we could use her place as a storage if we have to store. Just pack it on site. The individuals that run the food bank, they say, well, we'll wait until you actually have an ACNC before we talk any further. So. Because they're going to have inspectors that will visit the site and that. And although the person that I'm renting or leasing a bit of land on their farm, he has so many cars, but he also has so many buildings, but, you know, nothing official. So I guess the issue is I don't want to – I can just hear a brother that lives not far from here saying, you're attached to Babylon, you can't let go. He said that about my bus driving. I said, well, there's nothing the matter with earning a living if it's not giving out principles. And I don't want to make that link, and I don't know what the link involves. I guess that's what I'm facing, because I think it was Sister Ida a couple of weeks ago talked about the Salvation Army putting on a wonderful feast and gave her an opportunity to share her faith. She got to know people and that, and I mean, we know what the Salvation Army believe, and that they need the whole gospel presented to them too. And you can do that without connecting to them, being in the world, without being a part of it. And I just hope not to If anyone's experienced this, perhaps linked up, and maybe you have a food bank or some system in America or other places, Canada, that you're aware of. I don't know how it would go. At least at any time you can, you know, just give it up. Okay, that didn't work. Give it up. And at this stage, I'm not sure except to try. And then it would be defeated. You're thinking of Gideon. We only got two people. Oh, well, we might get three or four and then just go from there. Because I find that when you've got something temporal to give to people, it opens up time that you can talk to them, get to know them. There's always a reason why you're there. You know, knock on someone's door, they're not expecting you. They might have time for you and they might not. But when you're bringing food, they still might not have time for you. And so it's just a service that maybe they expect and that. And it's up to you whether you do that service and where you do it, etc. So I don't know. I don't think I'm in cahoots in a bad way if I should have Sister Faye on it and she's got the availability. But then you do ask yourself, what does she tell the people regarding her reform movement, where she's using, which she doesn't belong to, Lucy was just saying. I don't want to give a mixed faith and I don't know what Sister Faye might do. Yeah, it's kind of like us going door knocking, which we've been talking about for a while, but she's never seemed to have the time to do it together, and I want to talk more about our faith.
Well, we will keep it in prayer, dear brother, that the Lord directs in either pursuing further in that area to aid evangelism, or if it's going to be a detriment towards evangelism. There's just too much involved that takes time away from the ministry. But we'll definitely keep it in prayer. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments? Before we have a closing prayer, please go right ahead. And again, if you're on the phone and would like to speak to us or pray, be sure to hit *9 on your phone dial, and we'll be able to release your mic and be able to speak to us. Well, dear ones, it's been a wonderful meeting tonight, and appreciated your participation and your comments and thoughts and prayers and comments. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you again in about half a day from now. But now it's time for closing prayer, and who would like to offer that for us tonight? And please feel free.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to talk and converse with brothers and sisters of the same faith of the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Thank you for Jesus being the central theme presented throughout these two volumes of the enormous amount of information for us, more than ever before in the history of this world, to know how to avoid the pitfalls, to know how to avoid the failings of past generations, and to not be proud ourselves in thinking we're better than them, but humbled by their experience when we apply it to our own life and in our heart and in our own being, the spiritual aspects of what we've been covering throughout the book Patriarchs and Prophets. God, we want to grow. We want to have a greater faith where there is no doubt mingled with it. I appreciate what you're trying to do for us today in expanding on Gideon's experience, really looking forward to reading more. Thank you. We don't have to wait till next week. We can read it ourselves, but it's so much more an extra blessing to have brothers and sisters to read and converse about it. because we are all in this world and we experience temptation on a regular basis, but they need not answer a chord in our heart because of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for being our personal Savior. Thank you for leading us thus far. And though many people have left in the past in your cause throughout history, that doesn't mean we have the truth, but if we know what the truth is based on, to the law and to the testimonies, exalting you, Jesus, we can know that we do have the truth, and that in learning and following it, we are part of that remnant that is to stand in these last days. We feel like we've got very little time, and I pray none of us think we have time on our side, or something of self to help us overcome sin, but keep thinking about in and through and by Jesus, we can do all things to Godward, to be of service, to be a servant, a child of God that is filled with the joy that we read about and have experienced ourselves in entering the service of Christianity. God, we appreciate what you're doing, continue to be doing in the Let There Be Light ministries, especially on YouTube as well, this great avenue of outreach. Thank you for letting it reach over 1,500 viewers. We uphold these dear souls that they will not forget what's been said, what they've watched, what they've listened to. And in fact, if they do, they might watch it again, listen to it again, whatever's best. Spirit, you're able to bring everything that's been talked or spoken in the past to these dear souls, and please set them free in Jesus indeed, to show them what it means to have the whole gospel indeed. Freedom in Jesus and not freedom in sinning. Thank you for clearly pointing out the players in the great controversy and the dangers that face us all. I pray that it will only increase and expect to increase as we put to practice the things that we learn, and which may no doubt involve unlearning things. We also want to uphold in thanksgiving what you've done for Cindy. We're so glad she hasn't lost a job or had that blot on her record. Thank you for blessing her with the sense of continued answered prayer. And we pray we all will follow the same example, that we, when we believe you've blessed us, if there's some doubt raised or something else, maybe it's similar to Sister Cindy, that indeed we will thoroughly investigate to understand whether it is a blessing of you or whether we misunderstood it. Thank you that it can always be like Sister Cindy has had, and please bless her to be able to get online, if that's at all possible, to meet up with the brethren and sisters, along with Bonnie Lee and her family. We pray, we're so glad she will be able to join, and pray that nothing will get in the way, no one will take her time, that will stop her from coming online and being able to fellowship with other brothers and sisters online. And thank you that this fellowship is not just online, it's heart fellowship with heaven, and that we don't have to make an appointment with you to have victory in the future, but we might have it now. That we might trust your word now. Though the heavens even fall, we can do that. Even unto death. We read of many doing this after the footsteps of Jesus. Please be with our brethren and sisters as they prepare for bed, and that they get all the sleep that they need, be refreshed for the morning, and those of us with the sunlight hours of the Sabbath upon us, that we will use it wisely, that we would gain extra understanding of your will for our lives, of the advancement of your cause, because your cause is for everyone in truth, and no lies of the truth, nor evil defined by you is of the truth. Thank you for exposing evil. Help us not be partakers in it, but rather expose it. And thank you for your support in our personal lives, in our social lives, our family lives. Bless the brethren that are presenting sermons with your power. Give them more of the Holy Spirit. And to the listeners, that the truth of these last days will have their designed effect that heaven has ordained. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Well, dear ones, is there any other thoughts or songs, testimonies that you'd like to share before we close tonight's meeting? Please go right ahead.
Waiting for Brother Dick.
Well, well, well. All right. You know the words? Put them in where they belong. Happy Sabbath, blessed Sabbath, and remember Anna Maria in your prayers.
Well, thank you, dear brother, and we will. So God bless one and all, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you soon. Now, good night, or have a wonderful Sabbath day.